The Sloppy Sorting Hat is a podcast that includes adult language and content, as well as spoilers from your favorite TV shows, movies, and books. It is also a zero-budget production that may sometimes have weird audio quirks. You have been warned, and this is your last warning.
It's the Sloppy Sorting Hat.
Welcome to the Sloppy Sorting Hat. This is a podcast where we sort characters from our favorite movies, books, and TV shows, but because the hat and we are a little sloppy, we'll most likely get it wrong. I'm Michelle.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Danny. I'm getting that deja vu feeling again because we're doing all the same stuff as usual. Games, sorting, and other sloppy stuff.
Must mean you're a witch. So for this episode, we are sorting the Disney favorite, Halloween Town. But first, we need to get sloppy.
Ready, Fred? Ready, George? Bottoms up.
So I am going to be doing a Better Beer segment for this episode. I am drinking the Saucy Brew Works Boo Thang. It is their version of an October beer. Oh. And I think that this is a better beer of choice for Ron Weasley and his Boo Thang, Lavender Brown. Because let's be real, Lavender Brown would totally call her Wan Wan her Boo Thang.
That's disgusting, and I don't validate that.
So is this a better beer for Ron or a better beer for Lavender?
Both.
Both. They can share it. They can, like, use straws.
I don't like that.
It's our Boo Thang. I guess for a Lavender, really, right?
I don't Either. Like that.
So you could go to our Instagram and let's see a picture of this fun can. There are two people on it with pumpkin heads. It's very interesting. I should probably try it. It's good. It's a little bitter. I don't really like pumpkin ales, to be completely honest. Not too big on the spices with pumpkin. But it's 8.5%, so it's definitely going to give me a little, maybe get me a little tipsy, which is perfect for this episode. Michelle, what are you drinking?
I am also drinking something that's in the spirit of, if not Halloween, fall. Because I'm not the biggest Halloween fan, but I definitely love the fall. So I'm drinking a Downey's cider, which is a really good cider that is unfiltered. You have to shake the can a little bit before you open it, but besides that minor inconvenience, it's a pretty great drink. So this was just kind of like the regular Downey cider. They have a bunch of different flavors, and I like it because it's definitely not overly sweet at all. It's nice and tart, and is not in you know, that unfiltered thing kind of makes a, you know, just like kind of tastes like an adult apple juice, but not not too sweet.
It's so good. I love that beer.
Danny, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the Brooklyn Post Road Pumpkin Ale, sticking with that Halloween pumpkin theme. It kind of tastes like pumpkin pie in a bottle, which isn't great since I don't like pumpkin pie, but I'd choose this beer over a piece of that crap pie if I had to.
Pumpkin pie is the best.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
It's weird.
It is weird because I love pumpkin pie, but I hate pumpkin beer. And for some reason, I think Danny might like pumpkin beer, but she hates pumpkin pie.
I mean, I'll drink pumpkin beer. It's not like my favorite, but it's better than pumpkin pie for sure.
Okay. You're just being mean.
To pumpkins?
You're being mean.
And pies? Just pumpkin pie. I like other pies.
I mean, pie in general is awful. I hate pie crust, so when I eat pumpkin pie, really, I'm just eating pumpkin pudding, scraping it off of a disgusting pie crust.
Yeah, I don't really like pie crust either. It's just, like, not, like, good. It's, like, chewy and too hard, and that didn't make any sense.
I like pie crust. I actually think that it's better than the pumpkin part.
Okay. But the pumpkin pudding part is amazing, and I will defend it with the whipped cream.
Yeah.
And a couple of pie, you know, crust flakes, because I can't get it all off.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. While we drink our witch's brew, Let's play Dude, Where's My Broom?
Besides, you don't even know how to fly. Accio Fireball! What an idiot.
This is a game. I had
a few
too many butterbeers, and I got lost in the wizardly world. I need my sisters to come pick me up, so I'll tell them what to see, and they have to figure out where the F I am. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number one. I see cages.
Uh-oh.
Shit. Are you on the border? Are you on the border?
No, but I had a feeling somebody would say that. All right, next one. It smells pretty bad in here, and it's, like, really overcrowded with cages. There's just so many cages, and it smells bad.
Is it the owlery?
No.
Okay.
Cages. Hmm. I've got nothing. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep telling us what you see.
I see a rabbit that keeps changing into a top hat and back.
What?
McGonagall's office.
Nope. I don't think so. There's a witch with heavy black spectacles trying to help me.
Is it Trelawney's office?
Nope, I don't think so.
Is it Nocturne Alley?
Nope. Not too scary. There's a pair of enormous purple toads.
Toads. Enormous purple to Tonks's house.
Nope. There's lots of food and tonics for pets.
Are you at a veterinarian?
Not quite. All these pets seem to be healthy. There are all kinds of magical creatures here.
Is it, like the pet shop at Diagon Alley?
Maybe. It seems kind of like a pet shop.
Yeah, I need to be more specific, is what you're saying.
If you can.
I don't fucking know.
Is it... Did you make this hard? Why did you end up here?
I saw lots of creatures. They looked real cute.
She loves cats. That's why she's there.
There's all kinds of cats, all different colors.
Is it in Diagon Alley?
I don't know. It's a shop. It's a shop with lots of creatures. You got to make up a name for it. I mean, I know the name for it, but...
If you know the name for it, why don't you tell us?
It's a good question.
Is it
Michelle's the closest?
Go ahead, Amanda.
Eyelops Owl Emporium Magical
Menagerie. Yeah. Is it Menagerie?
Yeah, it's the Magical Menagerie.
I had to look that up. Everyone.
I was gonna say, it sounded like a Google search to me.
Well, can you guys come get me? I'm going to bring some of these cats with me. You each can have one, too.
Yeah, we'll bring a couple of baskets so we can fill them with kittens.
Perfect. Oh,
I love the kittens.
Meow, meow.
Whoosh. All right. That's us leaving to get you.
Whoosh. I got that, yeah. Right. That makes sense.
We're on our way.
All right, well, now that we've got Danny back with us, it's time to sort.
When I call your name, you will come forth. I shall place a sorting hat on your head, and you will be sorted into your houses.
Sorting is really very simple. All you have to do is pick a character and let yourself sort them. Danny, you go first.
All right. There wasn't a ninth main character in this movie, so I decided to do a rapid-fire sorting of a bunch of random characters. So here we go. Harriet. She's a Hufflepuff because she makes headless people muffins because all she cares about is baked goods. Hit broom salesperson. Ravenclaw. He doesn't know how to ride a broom, but he's creative with his manipulative sales techniques. The sweaty ghost. He's a Hogwarts ghost. Avi. Barbershop werewolf. Gryffindor. Because no one that gets a haircut, the one he got, thinks it's good. And then he's like really confident, and he just moves on like it looks better than it did before. So that's pretty Gryffindor-y. Those are my four rapid-fire sortings. Mm-hmm, from Halloween Town.
Do you say... Oh, Halloween Town?
From Halloween Town.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not from the movie Halloween Town, from the actual town. Halloween Town.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with all of those. I think that's well done, you know. The ghost guy definitely is a ghost. There's no way to argue that. You know? So which house is ghost would he be? I don't know. I think he's more like Peeves. He's just running around being sweaty. He's like like if Hogwarts had a gym, he's the gym's ghost.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, well done, Dan.
Thank you. Like the broom guy being in. Did you put him Ravenclaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. His manipulative sales techniques was good.
Yes. Yes. I almost bought that broom.
Yeah. I did actually watch Halloween Town.
Okay. Proud of you.
Rewatched it for this, and I actually also watched Halloween Town 2. Return to Halloween Town. Calabar's revengeing.
Yeah. I am ashamed to say that I fell asleep while watching Halloween Town yesterday. But it is definitely a movie that I watch every year at Halloween. I was just very tired.
That's fair. I have not seen it since I saw it for the probably the first time, or maybe the second or third time or something with you guys, but I haven't seen it in at least a decade. Probably more 20 years.
Oh my gosh, I watch it every year.
Yeah, me too. And so really enjoyed the remember, second one.
I didn't remember the plot good. At all. For some reason, I was like, yeah, her dad's from Halloween Town, and he's there, and she has never met him. That, in my head, that was the plot. I was watching the movie, and I was like, yeah, her dad, she's going to meet her dad for the first time, and then she's going to start having a relationship with her dad at the end of the movie and, go to Halloween Town. Her dad's, an important guy in Halloween Town. I swear to God, that's what I thought the plot of the movie was. And then we're watching it unfold, and the grandma shows up, and I was like, oh, that's right. Her dad's from Halloween Town, but he's dead. And so this is his mother coming and wanting Marnie to have, her heritage from her dad, even though her mom's a boring old human. And then once we figure out that's her mom, I thought she was calling her mother. Cause sometimes people call their in-laws mom and dad. And eventually I was like, oh shit, there's the dad's just human. Why did I think the dad was from Halloween Town? And I honestly feel like it's maybe just some of my own childhood trauma or something that made me remember it that way. And I was like, yeah, the dad's just not there. He went to get milk in Halloween Town 20 years ago, and she hasn't seen him since. That's the plot of the movie.
Oh man. Wow, that would be nuts.
So there you go. I mean, and then I was like, man, this movie was mediocre. I'm gonna watch Halloween Town 2. And Jim was like, how long is Halloween Town when he came down? And I was still watching Halloween Town 2. And I was like, this is the second one. But I did not watch Halloween High because I started it and I was like, this is stupid. And I turned it off.
Halloween Town High isn't that bad. The fourth one, though, wouldn't recommend that because they changed the actress for Marnie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually watched Halloween Town today. And then for some reason watched Halloween Town High. And I was thinking, because it said, watch Halloween Town High next. And I was like, sure, I'll watch it next. But I was like, wait, there's, the whole plot that I missed. Because it did not have me watch Halloween Town Calabar's Revenge. And I was very confused.
Oh, yeah. It did the same thing to me, where it was like, watch Halloween Town High. And I was like, I know there's a Halloween Town 2. It's called Calabar's Squeakquel or something. I know. Squeakquel? I'm going to find it. Yeah. Squeakquel. Anyway, that was a very large tangent, but I wanted you guys to know I watched it. And I really could not remember the fucking movie. I feel like I'm going to go back and watch The Luck of the Irish, and I'm going to be like, yeah, his dad's Irish, his mom's from Cleveland. And just misremember the whole fucking plot of the movie somehow. His grandpa has a popcorn factory. And yep, or whatever. And they have a lucky rabbit's foot. I don't know.
Wait, are we gonna do Luck of the Irish for St. Patrick's? No, but why haven't we done this yet?
We can do that. I was just using it as an example.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Well, anyway, back to sorting. I'm sorting Benny, who's just a notch above the four characters that Danny just sorted, as far as being a quote unquote main character in the movie. But for Benjamin C. Deadman, I am going to sort him into Gryffindor.
Wait, what did you just call him?
Benjamin C. Deadman, that's his full name.
Is that his full name for real?
Yeah, that's from Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revengeing.
Oh my God. Okay.
And he's all gray and serious. He says,
it's
actually Marnie goes back in time and he introduces himself as Benjamin C. Deadman. She's like, bye, Benny. And he's like, oh, I like that. And then he starts going by Benny or something. I don't know. It's stupid. God, it's pretty dumb.
Sorry, I know that we're going to go off on a tangent again because I just want to mention that I do remember this, the second movie, and that stupid word to get her out of like the
trapa.
Like the dumbest thing in the world. I'm sorry.
Like Luke being like, you obviously said it backwards and you didn't realize it. So let's write down what you said. Oh, right here. This is a word, a part, right here. And she's like, I didn't spell it. I'm like, yeah, Luke, you fucking idiot. And I was wrong. And so was Marnie. Anyway, Benjamin C. Deadman. I'm sorting him into Gryffindor. And I'm doing that because it's real bold of him to tell those bad jokes, you know? And he doesn't care that no one ever laughs. Like, literally, he tells a joke in every scene he's in, and no one laughs, okay? And he still does it. And so he's living his bold Gryffindor life. He don't care what anyone thinks. And also, he's a really reckless driver, obviously. I mean, he's literally, I feel like, can't drive. He's that bad, but that's his job. So that seems like a real Gryffindor move.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you guys are aware of Noodles the Pug from TikTok fame.
No. Did you send it to us? If not, then no.
I haven't. Oh, okay. Well, he's like a 13-year-old pug, and every day his owner stands him up and sees if he just collapses onto his bed or like actually stays standing up on his front legs. And if he stays standing up, it's a bones day. And if he falls down, it's a no bones day. And then those of us who are in this cult, because I feel like I'm a part of it now, if it's a bones day, then we know it's gonna be like a kind of a bolder day, and you should like treat yourself and everything, and go out and do that thing you've been putting off or whatever. And if it's no bones day, you gotta be kind to yourself, and you know it's actually very similar a bones day to no bones day. But anyway, the point of that is for anybody listening to this that is also in the cult of Noodles. With Benny, every day is a bones day, and I feel like that's pretty Gryffindor too. Because like, if every day were no bones day, that'd be Hufflepuff. But if every day is a bones day, that's Gryffindor.
That makes sense. And he's made out of bones.
And all of that is for the joke that yes, he's made out of bones, so every day is a bones day. And that was a very long joke that was not very funny. In honor of Benjamin C. Deadman.
Yep, there you go. So I thought it was funny. I also think his jokes are funny. I laugh.
Yeah, I probably laugh at it. I probably laughed 20 years ago, but I also still laugh now if I'm not falling asleep because I'm old and I like sleeping.
Yeah,
but good sorting, right. Definitely. Yeah,
that was Gryffindor. Good. Thanks. Definitely dumb Gryffindor. Oh wait, sorry, not for this one. Not dumb.
He was easily taken over by the bad thing.
Yeah,
that's the bad thing. All right, well, we can move on to Luke. I am sorting Luke, and I'm going to sort him into Ravenclaw because Luke knows that if he wants to be attractive, the only thing he has to do is follow this one evil guy, do his biddings, and then he will make him attractive. Makes total sense. It is only when hooded, creepy creature Calabar freezes Aggie and Gwen that he realizes this is way too much for him, and he bails. All the other people he freezes, no big deal though. But when Aggie and Gwen get frozen, it's a big deal.
Right.
I guess it's just important that he does eventually realize that this is bad. He does have very witty comebacks to Calabar, like when he says, zip, nada, zero, goose eggs. And when Calabar says, one by one, and Luke responds with, two by two, three by three.
Yeah, that was great. That was probably my biggest laugh in the whole thing. It was like, one by one, two by two, three by three. And I was like, you tell him, Luke. You're the best white man ever, Ben. Yeah, good job.
So, I mean, I guess we know that he can count really well, which Ravenclaws, you know, are smart. They can count. He's also clever. He's able to fool Calabar by putting on Marnie's cloak around him. And Calabar thinks it's actually Marnie. Oh, my God. So clever, I mean, of him.
That was Luke's idea, you know? So give some props to my man here, for sure.
Totally.
So for those reasons, that's why I think he is a Ravenclaw.
I just want to say, and this actually has nothing to do with his sorting. I agree with it. But one, I think he's cuter with that big nose than without it. Like, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. And
I think he's just kind of plain looking with the nose. It's like, oh. And then secondly, in Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revengeing, they really like made the nose and the other facial features a lot, like they reduced that a lot. And it just like kind of looked like he was mostly normal, like human looking, with just like slight change to the ears and a slightly bigger nose. And I was like, no, man, I just watched the first one. I know that you try to make him look more attractive now that he's like a real love interest for Marnie. And I don't like it, you know? I don't like the lack of continuity.
Yeah, that's lame. I didn't realize that.
But in any case, it's very smart of him to. The evil guy is like, I've been freezing all these people and forcing them to do my bidding. But for you, I'll just make your nose smaller. What are you thinking? He's like, yeah, let's do some evil shit.
He's good. I like him. Mm-hmm.
Trappa.
Apart. At least there is a spell I remember from this movie, because, you know, like, I definitely don't remember the one to make the chalice work.
Oh, no. That's in Welsh or something. Yeah. So.
Next up, we have Calabar. And Calabar is kind of like Salazar Slytherin, so I'm putting him into Hufflepuff.
Oh, that makes total sense.
It's obviously Calabar Clytherin.
Like Sally, he creates a beast, or becomes a beast, that goes around petrifying people and giving them super nice long nappy daps. He tries to welcome half human, half witch Soapy with a lollipop. So he can like show her he's a super nice guy. That's mm-hmm. Hufflepuff. Mm-hmm. He disguises himself as an ugly, scary demon dude that's scared of light, which doesn't make any sense because Calabar doesn't have any issues with light, which seems like he worked a little too hard on keeping his identity hidden. Unnecessary steps were definitely taken for this. And last, he's a politician, and politicians love laws and justice, and he was really just mad at Gwen for thinking humans are superior, and he knows humans are not superior, so he was trying to help out all the creatures of Halloween Town by taking over the mortal world, and that's what Hufflepuffs do, stick up for the underdog who was banished to their own beautiful, fun world. Right?
Right.
Yeah. That was great.
That was something.
Yeah, the Calabar's whole deal doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Great point that he seems to have trouble with the light when he's in his weird monster form, but is walking around in the daylight in every other scene when he's normal. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When they all are like together again at the end, and they're like, why are you doing this, Calabar? And Calabar's like, you could have been with me, Gwen. You could have been my queen. And I'm like, is that why you're doing this? Because she literally hasn't been here for like 15 years, dude. Like, you didn't know she was going to be here today. That can't be what your plan's revolving around. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, so, he was just so heartbroken that he had to, you know, take over the mortal world 15 years later.
Yeah.
It took him that long to disguise himself, I think, as the demon. I'm not even sure why he did that part.
No, that part makes sense. I guess to hide his identity, but he did that for about 5 seconds. So it saved him 5 seconds. That's it.
I was going to ask. I'm very confused because he looks very scary in the movie theater, but then doesn't look scary outside. I just don't understand that.
It's some kind of disguise that he's made for himself.
Yeah, I don't think he's an actual like demon. I think he really is just a warlock, not You know, he's a warlock, not a demon. But he masked himself as a demon.
I think he worked really hard at masking himself. So
yeah,
definitely Hufflepuff.
Yeah,
that's where you put him. Right,
necessary.
He did it all for love, and that's very Hufflepuff.
Yeah,
you could have been with me, Gwen.
It is very. I thought that too when I watched it today. I was like, oh my gosh, he's very dramatic about Gwen. When I don't even think he realized Gwen was still like alive for like the past 15 years. Or 13 years, I guess I was thinking, but
yeah, it's so fucking weird. This has obviously been going on for a while. He didn't just start it because he saw Gwen. A lot of the plot of the movie falls apart if you really examine it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a Disney kids movie. It makes sense. Yeah.
It's fine.
He decided to like go really fast to the end of his whole thing because Gwen was there. Gotta finish this up now. She's here. She needs to see how cool I am.
This big grand gesture for her.
I also don't really understand the freezing of people and leaving them in the theater. Like with Aggie, where it's forever. he froze her and she's and then leaves her there. And it's like, yeah, I'll just leave her here to be reawakened by her grandchildren later. Yeah. And it makes
well,
it seem
he couldn't
like
go out in the light, so where would he take them?
I guess, except he totally can't. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Calabar is so fucking dumb. He could have definitely just killed those kids and won. It would have been so easy. He's from the time he goes back into his weird fake dimension to the point where he comes down at the very end for the climax, we don't even see Mayor Calabar again. So what was he doing that whole fucking time? He just lets Marnie and Dylan and Sophie like just go and fucking foil him, even though they're children with no training. It's dumb.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. And I don't respect him.
I can tell.
Well, that's perfectly fine. You shouldn't respect him.
He is a villain, I guess. I also love that he refers to himself as evil when he's like, see, evil always defeats good, everyone. I'm like, why are you telling everyone you're evil? Like, at least some villains are like, I think I'm the good guy for my own fucked up reasons. He's legitimate, like, just like, I'm evil, everybody. And you should come over to the evil side, because look at good. It's over there passed out on a pumpkin, so fuck it. I have a lot of problems with this character.
Clearly.
I love that we're sorting all your problems out right now with this character. It's amazing.
Yeah, he has some issues.
He does.
For sure. Let's move on. Let's sort Dylan. Dylan is the middle Cromwell child. He's a bit of a dweeb. Jim, when we were watching, I was watching this, Jim was like in the room for the early part of it where he says some kind of nerdy thing, I don't even know, whatever, in like the first scene of the movie, and Jim goes, you know, it's interesting in these Disney movies, there's always one really cool kid. I was like, yep, that's true. So I am starting Dylan into Slytherin, and here's my theory. I think he schemed a little bit here. I think that at least halfway through this movie, Dylan realized that he had powers too. Everybody thought he was normal, and he played into like, I'm the normal guy. I'm the normal dweeb guy. And pretended he didn't know he had powers. So at the very end, when they need just one more person to come in and defeat Calabar, then he can like be the big hero whose power would like just put them over the edge to defeat him. And it was all a scheme to make himself look like a big hero.
No, I think that's probably right.
Yep. I agree.
He's probably doing like magic and we never saw it. You know, kind of like Sophie didn't realize she was doing magic and she didn't tell us, but like he knew he was doing it.
Yeah, like I feel like I refuse to believe that he was around magic for that long and never accidentally found out he had powers. Like I just don't buy it.
Agreed.
Also, Disney saying that the women, the girls, because the mom is a witch, gets the powers, and Dylan not getting the powers because his dad's not a warlock. I see what Disney's trying to do there. Don't think that's how it works.
No, that's not how genetics work. Magic goes down equally to all of the children. Or he's a squib. Who knows?
Everyone knows it's not recessive.
Maybe it really was static electricity and he's just a squib.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That's a good theory too.
Maybe.
Definitely Slytherin. He's smart. He lacks imagination.
Mm-hmm. He's always like manipulating Marnie. Well, not manipulating, but like going with her plan until mom shows up and then he's like, oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah.
Kind of dumb.
I'm just making sure all the thermostats are set to 68 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, he's very energy efficient.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's good comedic relief. He has some really good lines.
He's good comedic relief. There's a certain point where you're like, you're kind of like, Dylan, just fuck off and embrace it. Like, I don't need you to like be in denial anymore.
No.
Like, it stops being funny after a while and starts just being annoying. But it's kind of, you know, it's true to their experience of having little siblings.
What are you trying to say?
You know, I think you know what I'm trying to say.
We're the best little sisters you've ever had.
That you're annoying. I'm trying to say you're annoying.
I don't think that's what you're trying to say.
I was trying to say you're both really, really annoying.
Aw, we know. Fine. We try.
Fine. You're annoying. Uh-oh. I got it from you.
I got it from watching you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm up next. All right. I thought it was
you could have sorted Gwen. You could have sorted her.
Okay, so I'm up next and I'm sorting Gwen. And Gwen is going into Slytherin because I think that she just like really thinks mainly about herself, especially in the beginning when she tries to keep her children away from their birthrights of being witches and warlocks. I mean, come on, Gwen. That's really cool. I mean, you might not think it's cool, but it's cool. She also tries to keep her children away from their grandmother, which is, you know, because she doesn't want her to say anything about, you know, their life as witches and warlocks and Halloween Town. But I think that that's just because Gwen doesn't want to remember Halloween Town or be a part of Halloween Town anymore, which I just think is very unfair. She won't give Sophie that cookie, which I think is rude. I wanted that cookie too, Sophie. And she really seems like she loves Calabar trying to court her in the beginning, which is kind of yucky. Mm-hmm. In general, just yucky. So yeah, those are the reasons why she's going to Slytherin. I thought that Gwen was kind of boring, but whatever.
Yeah, Gwen sucks. Like, I really need a prequel. Like, I need the pre-Halloween Town, the preschool. Because I need to understand why Gwen hates Halloween Town. So it's not clear. Like, it's always just like, they're going to be normal. They're going to be human. And I'm like, what happened to you, Gwen? What made you so sad?
Yeah. I think it was that her husband died.
I mean, okay. But before you think she came to the Mortal War, she fell in love with unnamed dad. Did they ever give him a name?
No,
no.
Unnamed dad. And at that point she's like, I'm a witch, but I'm living here. My children will know about both sides of their heritage. And then the dad dies and she's like, my children will be 100% human. Cause it seems more like to me, like some shit went down in Halloween Town where she's like, it's weird there and I don't like it. And
yeah, then Calabar.
I'm just saying, I would like to know Gwen's backstory because otherwise she seems like she has a stick all the way up her butt the whole
time. Yes, she does. It's very annoying.
Yeah, she definitely is annoying.
She won't even let them go out trick-or-treating on Halloween. Like, what the heck, Gwen? They are not only witches and warlocks, but they are children, too. Let them trick-or-treat.
They're not just wall ornaments.
They've never been trick-or-treating. They've never been trick-or-treating. It's wild.
Yeah, she wants them to be normal humans. They need to go trick-or-treating. Yeah, it's a rite of passage. Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think that they get presents on Christmas? Do you think they get tea to turkey on Thanksgiving? Like, you know, do you think they get to plant trees on Arbor Day? Like, I don't know what they get to do.
I think they just sit in their house and make sure that it's 68 degrees.
Which is a little warm for Danny. We were just at Danny's house. And it was 62 degrees at all times in that house. Or colder. Manda, you missed. This was great. I got back from lunch and then Jim and I were like leaving as we're like literally picking up our suitcases to walk out the door. Danny goes, let's turn the heat on.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to turn the heat on. And Jim's like, oh, thanks so much for waiting until we left. Cause we didn't want it to be warmer last night when we were sleeping upstairs. Like, we definitely didn't want that. So thank you.
I did turn it on and oh my God, this smell was so bad. You're welcome for not turning it on while you were here.
Did it smell like gas?
No, I looked it up because this happens every year when you first turn on your heat. It's all the dust buildup over the past, you know, like 8 months.
Oh yeah.
And it like burns and oh my God, it smells so bad.
Yeah, there was a Justin texted me once and he was like, hey, it smells really weird in my office at Highland. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And he's like, yeah. And then like 15 minutes later, he's like, oh, it's because they just turned the heat on for the first time.
Whatever, I set it to 62, so not much warmer in here. All right. That was a fun.
Where did you sort her?
Slytherin.
I agree.
Me too. Let's move on to Sophie.
Yes.
Soapy. Soapy. Soapy is the Ravenclaw of the story. She turns down candy from a creepy stranger because she knows stranger danger is a real threat. She's a quick thinker, like when she thought to sick the dog on Bad Bones Benny. When Grandma Aggie gets there, she immediately asks for presents, obviously a smart move. And last, her brilliant creativity in creating that song to remember the spell which saved Halloween Town. She can only be a Ravenclaw. But wait, maybe she's actually a Ravenpuff, because we first see her use her unknown magic to attempt to sneak cookies. And that is obviously Hufflepuff. So I think we're going to have to go with the mix here. And Soapy is a Ravenpuff.
Yes. I cannot agree more with you on this one. Especially that cookie part. And she's just so smart for being so young.
Yeah. I mean, she knew somebody was coming.
It's like the bad thing. Somebody's coming.
Yeah, she's clearly the more talented witch compared to Marnie.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess
it's just that's like true. Naturally. Yeah. I think she has more natural ability.
Yeah.
But no one ever really acknowledges that. But Homegirl remembers that spell after hearing it one time. So, I mean, that's impressive.
It's usually the youngest that has the more natural abilities within the family.
Of course.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So yeah, I agree with that as a Ravenpuff. I mean, like, the cookie thing is undeniable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she wants really that cookie so that bad. Cookie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then turns around and thinks her mom's eating a cookie and is, like, appropriately outraged by that travesty of the situation.
I would be. Oh, that's another thing. Well, I guess Gwen couldn't have helped it, but she ate the cookie in front of Soapy when Soapy wanted the cookie.
Yeah.
It's pretty mean.
I know. She could have thrown it. She could have put it behind her back. Like, there's so many other things she could do. Put it in her mouth. She could have magicked it away, but she refuses to use magic.
Yeah.
Gwen, you dumb bitch.
Oh, wait. We're talking about Soapy. Sorry.
Soapy
is sponge.
What did you call her, Marish?
A smart bitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's cute.
She's cute. And I think it's a good sorting, Danny, for sure, because it's, you know, she is very smart for a little kid.
Yeah. She's very intuitive.
Yeah.
Very intuitive.
One might not even call that a sloppy sorting.
Yeah.
Well,
let's not get into semantics.
That's fine.
She's too young to know what her real sorting is.
That's true. But sometimes I feel like we sort too young. All right, I'll sort Aggie next. Aggie is the grandma, and I'm putting her in Gryffindor because I think she's hashtag reckless. She completely disregards her daughter's rules when she's at the, you know, visiting them on Halloween night, to the point that it's like 100% just blatant, where she's like, don't tell them anything about Halloween Town. She's like, of course I won't. Goes upstairs. I have a story. It's about a place called Halloween Town. Like, if Gwen had been standing there, she would have been like, what the fuck?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
And like leaves, like, I'm assuming she made that book somehow, puts a picture of Marnie just in the book. Like, was really just pulling out all the fucking stops to try. And I don't know what her end game was. Because even if Marnie walked downstairs with this book to her mom, was like, hey, I think something's fishy. This is me. I think Halloween Town's real and I'm going to go. Like, it wasn't going to work. So it wasn't a very good plan. It was kind of a Gryffindor plan, I think.
Dumb.
Or she didn't think it out at all. She just, like, was throwing random shit at her grandchildren to see what would stick. She also tries to save, she's trying to save the world and light up Merlin's talisman or whatever. And for some dumbass reason, uses instant witch's brew instead of making it from scratch. Like, what was she thinking? That was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, how was that going to work? You know? And then I think the most Gryffindor plan of all was the fact that she, like, knew that she needed to get that to light up and put in the jack-o'-lantern and blah, all that shit. Tells no one. Tells absolutely no one the whole plan in advance. So when she gets frozen, Marnie has to, like, figure it out with like, context clues. And, like, little riddles, like, mortal see, mortal do. Oh, yeah, I mean, I got to put this in the pumpkin. Aggie could have told her that. And then she wouldn't have been as much trouble later. So I think just, like, reckless all around, honestly.
Yeah, I think that she's, like, so reckless that when, like, Luke is like, oh, I know who the bad guy is. Do you want to meet him? Pretty much. And Aggie's like, yeah, bring him.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, no plan whatsoever. No idea, like, yeah. who this person is, what they are. And she's like, yeah, sure. Take me to that person.
She's basically like, yes, sir. Lead me into your trap. Thank you very much. Like, incredible.
I think she's also pretty showboaty. Like, she's very into dropping the Cromwell name any chance she can get. She's like, we are Cromwell witches. And
oh, yeah.
Really into that.
She's going to ride this room really well because she's a Cromwell. Like, yeah, it doesn't take any skill whatsoever.
Yeah, I get the impression people around town are just rolling their eyes, kind of like, yeah, Cromwell, whatever.
Definitely.
For you. The other thing I love is, like, as she's getting frozen, Marnie's looking back, and she's like, Marnie, don't worry. We're just being frozen. Go. Go. And, like, instead she's going to be like, Marnie, light the thing up and put it in the pumpkin. That's how to defeat him. Like, she could have done that, but instead she's like, I'm fine. Like, yeah, whatever, bitch.
No helpful information whatsoever.
Yeah, literally zero helpful information. She doesn't like, remember the spell is like, repeat it. She doesn't do that. Hey, I wrote the spell down and it's in the second drawer on the right. Like, she doesn't do that. You know, any of this would have been more useful than we're just frozen. Like, we know you're just frozen.
Oh, man.
Aggie.
I love her. She's great. I'm just saying.
She's such a delight.
She really is.
But she brings all that candy, so she's great. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that bag of candy.
She's really good to the kids in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Brings them costumes, brings them candy.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady.
Lets them stay up a little later.
Mm-hmm. Goes up and is like, let me tell you about Halloween Town.
Yeah.
Gives them a bunch of onions.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I thought that was garlic. It's garlic.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Ward off vampires. Even though later we see a vampire, she seems perfectly nice.
Yeah.
Maybe Aggie has a secret beef with that vampire. She doesn't want her around. I don't know, but
that's so true. And then the ghost, she does a great ghost impression. And then we see a ghost sweating, and he does not make those sounds.
Yeah. Oh.
Nice. Oh my god, I'm scared. Is there a ghost behind me?
It's Buffy.
God, that would be worse. I'd rather a ghost. All right, shall we move on to Marnie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm up next. I'm sorting Marnie, and I'm going to put her into Hufflepuff. I think that she really shows her loyalty to her grandmother and to Halloween Town. She works really hard at getting that potion correct to light that talisman. She shows a lot of patience when it comes to figuring out to save Halloween Town, especially since this was her, you know, first time in Halloween Town, and she just found out that she was a witch like 5 minutes ago. She definitely holds a strong sense of justice when she decides to take down the big bad and expose him. And I also think that she tolerates Luke pretty well since he was hitting on her the entire time and then tried to help her and a little cringy at first, but ended up fine. So I feel like in true Hufflepuff fashion, she just blindly trusts the guy who was a jerk to her like 10 minutes ago. So for those reasons, I'm putting her into Hufflepuff.
Yeah, she's a bit trustworthy. Too trustworthy, if you've watched the second one.
I think you mean trusting.
Yeah, trusting.
She's also trustworthy.
She's 100% trustworthy.
Oh, yeah. Trustworthy.
Yeah, she's too trusting. Definitely too trusting, especially if you've seen the second one.
She's like literally the whole thing. She's like, hey, I just found out that I'm a witch 10 minutes ago. I'm going to go try save Halloween Town. And then like this guy, I just called him a big cheese. Like he's stinky, but now I'm going to trust him. You know, after he just ran out of the stupid like theater and froze my grandma and my, it's just like, just very strange for Marnie, but you know, kids movie and I'm here for it.
She didn't really have a lot of choices, and he actually had a decent idea, so
yeah,
thankfully he did not cross her and betray her.
Yes,
I just One of the things I want to point out that I think is so fucking funny is that when she goes to put the talisman in the pumpkin and like passes out on top of the pumpkin, is like dangling there, which I find for some reason I found so fucking funny every time they showed her dangling over this pumpkin, and inevitably has to like drop it in to the center. If you watch carefully, after they've defeated Calabar and Aggie has the talisman back, she goes and puts it in the center through the mouth of the pumpkin.
Yeah,
and does not climb on top of it. So it's just an example of Marnie being a fucking dumbass, where she's like, "I guess I got to climb on top of this." When she probably could have had it in there before Calabar even knew she was doing anything. If she just like thought, "Oh, there's an opening here."
Oh my gosh, that's such dramatic effect. I didn't even realize that. I mean, that's like a Gryffindor thing. I would have put her in Gryffindor, but I do think that her true house is Gryffindor. So it's a little sloppy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just was like, I don't want to ever remove the scene of her passed out on that pumpkin, because I think it's fucking hilarious. But I just, you know, even when she was climbing up it, even before that happened, I was like, you really got to climb on top of it? Like, there's holes all over this thing.
That's so true.
Also, how did she even get up there? Did she have somebody, like, boost her?
Well, see, the interesting thing is that she uses the mouth and the eyes and the nose and everything as footholds, like, to climb up, and not realizing she could probably just put it in through the holes. Because you can see her foot, like, on the eye when she's hanging there.
Oh, that's so silly.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
They should have made Aggie go up there, too, mm-hmm. for, you know, continuity.
Right.
She probably would have hurt herself, though. She's an old lady.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could check it
or
out.
Or she
to,
could
like,
have
Aggie
just magicked it in there. Just like,
that's whoop. Also another thing, yeah. Aggie could have just been like, and it goes in there. But I guess, whatever. And then I wouldn't have felt like, Marnie, come on, man. I still would have felt that way, though, because I remember, even as I was watching her hanging off the thing, I was like, you idiot. Anyway, where'd you sort her?
Oh, I sorted her into Hufflepuff.
She's so trusting.
All right, Marnie as Hufflepuff is, I'm good with that. She likes weird stuff. Hufflepuffs like weird stuff. She's a bit of a butt. Hufflepuffs are bits of butts. Wait.
bits of butts.
butt bits.
They're a bit of a butt.
Butt bits. Bits butts.
Absolutely. Butts bits.
I think you're a weirdo. No wonder why you're in Hufflepuff.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm good with that.
We both were.
Good sortings
all around.
We did well.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So the next segment is Magical Mashup.
Magical Mashup.
So we're going to mash up the Halloween Town universe and the Harry Potter universe. And it's going to be fun.
Why does it feel like I'm being forced into
fighting? Are you guys ready for this ride?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it because there's magic in both worlds?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I'm actually doing the fact that Calabar is actually Voldemort.
Okay.
The fuck?
All right. Listen. Okay. So let's state that.
He has a nose, though. He has a nose.
So, yeah, but we'll get there. Okay. Let's start with the obvious.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Calabar is a wizard, and so is... Well, okay, Calabar is a warlock.
No, Voldemort's he's a warlock! A sorry.
Voldemort's a wizard. I don't know what the difference is, but I think it's the same thing. So, we'll just go with it.
Well, in D&D, a warlock... No, I'm kidding.
Don't start with me. They are both important leaders in their communities, Calabar being the mayor, and Voldy being the Dark Lord, who everyone fears.
Important.
All right, I'm following.
Halloween is a big deal for both of them. Voldemort killed Harry's parents on Halloween, and Calabar lives in Halloween Town. So, you know, they both make a kid do some of their dirty work. Voldy uses Malfoy to try and kill Dumbledore, and Calabar uses Luke just to do whatever.
Yeah.
They are both obsessed with the purity of race. Calabar believes the creatures of Halloween Town are better than humans, and Voldy thinks witches and wizards are better than muggles. That one we all can get behind, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Both were defeated by a kid who really had no idea what the hell was going on. Calabar was defeated by Marnie, and Voldy was defeated by Harry.
Baby Harry.
They both had multiple times they could have killed them, but decided not to for some odd reason. We don't know. And they both use some sort of powerful artifact to establish dominance. Valdi has the Elder Wand. Calabar had Merlin's talisman. Similarities. You guys seeing this?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So now we're just going to piggyback off of this idea and say that Marnie and Harry could also be the same person.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm following.
They both found out they were a witch or a wizard around the same age. Harry was 11. Marnie was 13. But, you know, she would have probably found out when she was 11 if Gwen wasn't a Slytherin.
Yeah, she would have gotten a Hogwarts. 100%. 100%. I'm with you. Woo! Do this.
The moment they found out they were wizards or witches, all hell broke loose.
True.
They both have the typical chosen person storyline. Harry lost two parents. Marnie lost one parent. So basically, I think Halloween Town.
Her other parent's a dud, so it's basically the same thing.
Right. So basically, I think Halloween Town and the Harry Potter universe, the same. What do you guys think?
Damn, yeah, I'm all about it. Let's do it. Woo!
So many similarities. Dylan is kind of like Hermione, just really booky. Sophie's kind of like Ron, just kind of silly most of the time.
Lots of natural talent.
Loves cookies. And food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Gwen's who's like Aggie Molly, then? Aggie is Molly Weasley.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Or McGonagall. She might be McGee.
She's Hagrid. I think she might be Hagrid.
She might be all three. She might be playing all three parts in the Wizardly
she
World.
She might be.
Yeah. I think it's a really good theory. I think that, I think it's canon.
I think it's canon, too.
Yep, Calabar is definitely a Voldy. So what about the nose thing, though? You said we were going to get back to that.
Oh, yeah. So one of the other ones I thought of was that Voldemort doesn't have a nose, and Calabar, when he's, like, in his weird demon outfit, he has, like, a pale face and, like, looks, like, awful.
I like that he called it an outfit.
I don't know what it is. Like, his mask? I don't know what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and I agree.
So, yeah, some similarities between their face when, you know, Calabar is being, like, scary. Oh, no. Sure. I mean, like, he has a nose, but, you know, it's still pale and, like, weird looking.
He's not pale. He's green.
He's a pale green.
Pale.
I'm going to look it up.
Kind of terrifying.
Calabar monster version. That's what I Googled.
It's not green. I think there might have just been some green light in some of the scenes.
Okay.
It's really hideous.
I think he looks pretty green.
I think he looks tan.
He has yellow eyes. So help me God, tan. Yellow eyes. The first picture that comes up, he looks like some kind of weird, like, pig ear skin color or something. Like, I don't know. He looks like a fucking pork rind. But
pork rind!
Otherwise, he looks super green.
Okay. He's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, he's definitely terrifying. Okay, this one, though, I see this one, he looks like a poor Brandon, so I don't know, it's questionable. I can see it. It's like Voldy before he chopped his nose off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Definitely.
I don't think Voldy chopped it off himself. It just, you know.
All right.
It's very questionable as to how we know Voldemort lost his nose. No one knows.
No one knows.
Okay. No one knows.
All right. I think I have to do the next segment, but I don't remember what it is.
Sloppy spellcasting.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Also known as the drunk duel.
Hey, hello, boy. Bottoms up. Tonic for the nerves.
You've been taught how to duel, I presume.
One's at the ready. One, two, three.
We could all three do it, or you can just pick like a theme for Amanda and I to do, or really, it's a work in progress.
Okay, I'm gonna do a random letter. Random letter of alphabet. Go. Go, Google.
You're gonna have to tell us the letter.
I thought she was telling us to go, and I was like, well.
M. The letter is M. Okay.
Who starts?
I guess I will start.
Wait, no. Oh, okay. We're doing all three of us?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be out first round because I only know one.
Okay. I'll go. Muffliato.
Morsmordra.
That's the one I knew.
Okay.
I don't know anymore that start with an M.
There probably aren't many.
Me either.
I don't know either. This segment needs some work.
That was bad.
Get rid of it. Amanda lost.
Let's keep it and let's let everybody know sometimes we fail. Like most of the time, this podcast is super buttoned up, very professional. We never make any mistakes. But behind the scenes, everybody, sometimes this is really on me. I don't think things through 100%. I just come on here and I go like, I'll figure that out when I'm on the air. And I fucked up. For that, I apologize sincerely.
Yeah, in the future, we probably shouldn't go with one letter because there's just not that many for each letter. We should just do a free-for-all.
Yep, that would work better, I think.
Well, we are not soapy. We are not good at spells.
It's true.
Be-gi-ma. Be-gi-ki-fi. Be-gi-ya.
Something. A cookie. Something.
And eat it too.
Amazing.
Okay.
I mean, that spellcasting truly was very sloppy.
Yeah, it was. All right. It's time to spill that Veritaserum.
The time has come for answers. Have you brought the Veritaserum?
This is just a quick would you rather from in the Harry Potter wizardly world. Would you rather spend a night in the Forbidden Forest or escaping Gringotts? And this was submitted by Google. Who wants to go first?
Google sponsors.
Shout out to Google. I'll go first. I think I would rather spend a night in the Forbidden Forest. You know, yeah. I really like forests. I like hiking. And I just feel like that's more of my vibe. I know that there's a lot of weird shit going down in the Forbidden Forest, but I feel like I could hunker down and not be seen. There's some spells I could do. I'll just borrow Harry Potter's invisibility cloak for the night. If you let me borrow that.
Okay.
I'm not good at escaping things like Gringotts, and there's goblins and they're weird and I don't want to deal with goblins. So I'm just going to say I'm going to spend a night in the Forbidden Forest. Maybe I'll see a unicorn.
That's a really good. Maybe you'll see some spiders.
That's a really good point. Are we trapped in these locations? Amanda seems to think we're trapped in Gringotts.
We had to spend the night there.
I have to spend the night there, but I'm trapped or I'm choosing to spend the night there.
You're spending the night in the Forbidden Forest or you're spending the night escaping Gringotts. I mean, you could get out quicker than the night, but maybe not. Those seem pretty scary to me.
Just seems like so much work escaping Gringotts. I don't know if it's that much work just staying the night yet. it would be scary the freaking Blair Witch Project times 1,000 probably. But
yeah, I'll spend the night in the Forbidden Forest right on the edge. I'll just walk in next to the first tree and plop my ass down and sit on the next to the tree in the grass. Hogwarts always visible, right in front of my face. Is that allowed?
Yeah, because if you're looking at Hogwarts, then you are safe because Dumbledore.
Yeah.
No safer place than Hogwarts.
As soon as I see a spider, I'm like, Dumbledore! And he comes running out. He just hears me immediately. You could have been with me. You could have been with me, Dumbledore. That's not a real answer to the question. I guess I also would choose the forest because I guess if I'm going to... I don't really want to be escaping anywhere. I guess I'd rather be traipsing around in the woods. And if I happen to die, I guess so be it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather die in a forest because
than
I
live
like...
in a bank.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I think I'm gonna go ahead and pick the Gringotts because it seemed really cool when they were escaping Gringotts, and hopefully I have somebody in there to help me, but if not, I feel like I could get myself out of there. It's that cool
dangerous.
Roller coaster
that seems, have all those seems really waterfalls. Dangerous.
If you find that dragon that is tied up, can you let him out?
Yeah,
actually, that's how you should escape.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump on his back and see if he'll fly me out. I don't think that's ever happened before.
I was like,
I think
great
maybe
idea.
He'll do that for me.
I'm really glad we're brainstorming here because that's never that's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, such a good idea. I hope he drops me off in some random lake.
Do you ever think about if they just tore the school down, everything would have been better?
I do think about that.
It is a historical landmark. You can only what is it, Amanda? You should only
you can only restore it.
Restore it, yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our Halloween Town episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, share our podcast, comment, and like our posts, or whatever else you want to do to keep us going. Follow us on Instagram at sloppy.sorting.hat, Twitter at sloppysorting, TikTok at sloppysortinghat, and on Facebook. Send us questions and suggestions. Happy Halloween, Sloppy Slops!
Being normal is vastly overrated. Thanks, kids. See you in the afterlife. Ha!